Please take your Bible and turn to the book of Hebrews, the book of Hebrews chapter 1. In this tape, we're going to be trying to gain an overview of the Old Testament. And we're going to do that by looking at the main characters of the Old Testament, the major themes of the Old Testament, and then the three dispensations or historical periods of the Old Testament. Before we do that, however, I'd like for us to read this verse here from Hebrews chapter 1 because it gives us some very necessary information in regards to properly understanding the Old Testament. In Hebrews chapter 1, in verse 1, we read, "In the past, God spoke to our forefathers through the prophets at many times and in various ways, but in these last days He has spoken to us by His Son." This verse right here describes both the Old Testament as well as the New Testament. First of all, we read that in the past, God spoke to our forefathers, that is to the children of Israel, the nation of Israel within the Old Testament. And He spoke to them through the prophets. And He did this at many times and in many ways or in various ways. This is a description of the Old Testament, how God spoke to His people within the Old Testament. And He did it through His prophets, through His spokesmen. And this Word of God came to the children of Israel at different times, that is, within different historical periods and in different ways. In other words, we have different types of literature within the Old Testament. And then we see that in these last days, God has spoken to us by His Son. This is the New Testament. The New Testament is God speaking to His people by way of His Son. God fully revealing Himself by way of His Son, Jesus Christ. In order to fully understand the Bible, we have to be able to see the Old Testament and the New Testament together. St. Augustine, within the early centuries after the coming of Jesus Christ, one of the early church fathers, said at one time that the Old Testament is the New Testament concealed, and that the New Testament is the Old Testament revealed. There's a great deal of truth within this statement, because today, from our perspective, living in these times of the New Testament era, we are able to gain a great perspective and understanding of the Old Testament, which the people who lived within the Old Testament themselves did not see or understand. And then it's also true that as a result of our knowledge of the Old Testament, we are better able to understand the New Testament. The New Testament makes known the Old Testament, and yet the Old Testament foretells and foreshadows the events and themes of the New Testament. Therefore, today, when we study the Bible, we need to study it in its entirety. We need to see the major themes and principles and events of the Bible as a whole. To do that, then, we're going to begin with looking at the Old Testament. And I'd like for you to turn now to the book of Genesis. Back up into your Bible to the book of Genesis, chapter 3. Genesis, chapter 3. The main character of the Old Testament is the same one who is the main character of the Bible in its entirety, and that is God. God is the main character of the Bible, and therefore He is the main character of the Old Testament as well. The Old Testament shows God as being a sovereign God who is bringing about His purposes and His will according to His infinite wisdom and His love for mankind. It shows Him as being a just God and a holy God, and one who rules over all. This God then acts according to His will and according to His divine and eternal purposes. There are other supporting characters or actors, we could say, within the Bible as well. And the same is true of the Old Testament. And these other characters are, for instance, the prophets of the Old Testament. Men like Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, Moses, Samuel, and so forth. These are the people whom God spoke through to his people. Therefore, in the Old Testament, we see God in his relationship to his people, revealing himself to them and guiding them and leading them as a father would his children. Now, the two major themes of the Old Testament are, first of all, the ultimate theme of the Bible in its entirety, and that is God bringing about the redemption of mankind. And this relates to the promised Redeemer, which God promised to come and to restore the relationship with God, which had been broken because of the sin of Adam and Eve within the Garden of Eden. This is the major theme of the Bible, and it is one of the themes of the Old Testament. It is the ultimate, that is the long-range overview, overriding theme of the Old Testament and the Bible as a whole. This theme is accomplished in Jesus Christ. And in the Old Testament, we have Jesus Christ being foretold and being foreshadowed. That is, he is foretold in statements made by the prophets when they foretell the coming of Jesus Christ. And then he is foreshadowed. That is, images are given concerning events which took place within the Old Testament and yet which foreshadow the future coming of Jesus Christ. Almost every book, if not every book, of the Old Testament has in some way either a mention or a foreshadowing of the coming of that promised Redeemer, Jesus Christ. This then is the first and the ultimate theme of the Old Testament. The second theme is what we would call a more immediate theme. That is, the theme with which the day-to-day or the chapter-by-chapter, book-by-book events of the Old Testament take place. And that is the theme of God and his covenant relationship with Israel, with the nation of Israel. The great majority of that which is written within the Old Testament concerns God's relationship to his called out chosen nation of Israel. So then, the two major themes of the Old Testament are, first of all, the coming of God's promised Redeemer, that is, Jesus Christ, either being foretold or foreshadowed, and then the second theme being the immediate theme of God's covenant relationship with Israel, his chosen people. All of that which is written within the Old Testament, all of the individual chapters, books, accounts, records, people, and so forth of the Old Testament, all of them in some way relate to one of these two major themes. That's because the Bible is a spiritual book. The Bible is a book which is the Scriptures, the inspired Word of God. And therefore, what is written within the Bible, including within the Old Testament, relates to God's major themes, that which God is bringing to pass for the benefit of his people and to accomplish his ultimate plans and purposes. Now, there are also within the Old Testament three major historical periods, or three major what we would call either dispensations or administrations. These are periods of time in which God sets forth a governing principle which he sets as the relationship by which he treats his people, or he governs his people. In other words, you could think of this, for instance, when we think of the United States of America, or even a parliamentary system of Western Europe. These systems of government are systems which are set up and based upon either a written or an oral constitution. And this constitution, generally speaking, does not change. It sets the relationship between the governing party or the governing group of people with those who are governed, that is, with the people at large. This can be likened to God and His relationship with His people. In other words, God does not change. He always loves His people and He always endeavors to care for His people according to what He knows is best for them. This is the way a government is. It's set up by that constitution. Now, of course, it's true that not necessarily always does a government always look out for the best interest of its people. And in this way, it might differ from God. However, the constitution sets the stable relationship between the governing people and those who are governed. Just as God, who never changes, always loves and cares for His people. However, whenever you get a new governing party or a new governing administration within a certain historical period of time, that governing party introduces new laws and new ways in which it governs. This does not change the basic relationship which is set forth in the Constitution. However, it does change certain laws and certain ways in which the governing party relates to the governed people, according to the circumstances at that time. And this is what occurs within the Bible as well. God always loves His people, and He always desires to care for them and to help them to be benefited by His love for them. And yet, as circumstances change, God at times has to set forth a new particular relationship with His people. And these are called within the Bible dispensations, or we could call them administrations, just in the way a new administration governs within a parliamentary or within the system of the United States of America. So then, there are three major historical dispensations within the Old Testament. And these dispensations are marked by governing principles, which God sets forth to His people. The first of these is called the original paradise dispensation or administration. And that is what we've just read about within Genesis chapters 1, 2, and 3. That is, God and His relationship to Adam and Eve within that Garden of Eden. The governing principle was set forth in Genesis chapter 2. I'd like for us to look at that at this time. Genesis chapter 2, in verse 15, we read, "The Lord God took the man and put him in the Garden of Eden to work it and care for it." And verse 16, "The Lord God commanded the man, 'You are free to eat from any tree in the garden, but you must not eat from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, for when you eat of it, you will surely die.'" This was the governing principle of that original paradise dispensation or administration. God set forth that relationship between Him and Adam and Eve. As long as they lived by that principle, they were blessed. They were able to partake of all the abundance which God had provided for them. But they broke that principle. Therefore, God was no longer able to bless them according to that same principle because the circumstances changed. Man's spiritual relationship with God was broken. His intimate fellowship with God was broken. Man was separated from God. And therefore, a new dispensation began. And this dispensation is known within the Bible as the patriarchal dispensation or administration. It refers to the forefathers of the nation of Israel. The word patriarchal simply means fathers. And it's referring to the forefathers of the nation of Israel, men such as Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, and Joseph. The forefathers of the nation of Israel. During this period of time, during this administration, there was no written word of God. Instead, the knowledge of God was passed on orally from generation to generation. And God revealed himself directly to the patriarchs, to those men such as Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, and Joseph. And he made promises to these men that if they would obey him, if they would believe his promises and obey him, that God would bless them and bring these promises to pass. This is what is called the patriarchal period of time within the Bible. And it begins with Genesis chapter 4 and goes until the giving of the Mosaic law in Exodus chapter 20. Exodus chapter 20 then begins the third major dispensation within the Old Testament. And this dispensation can be called the dispensation of the law or the Old Covenant. And I'd like for you to turn to the book of Exodus. The book of Exodus chapter 20. This is where God specifically begins his relationship with the nation of Israel in a covenant relationship. The word covenant simply means an agreement whereby a greater sets up a relationship with a lesser. In other words, for instance, a king setting up a relationship with his subjects, or a master, owner, or lord setting up a relationship with his servants. And it was a relationship whereby the greater, and in this case within the Bible, the greater being God, made a promise that if those who were to serve him would obey him, would listen to him, and follow that which he set forth for them, that he, as their God, would care for them, love them, and bring to pass his promises within their lives. This is the covenant relationship. It is the relationship which God established with his chosen people, the nation of Israel. Now, there are other covenants also which are set up within the Old Testament. However, this is the major covenant, and it's called the Old Covenant or the Mosaic Law. That's because it was the law which God gave by his prophet Moses to the children of Israel. And this historical period of time begins with Exodus chapter 20 and goes through the rest of the Old Testament, all the way through the book of Malachi. In Exodus chapter 20, we have some information regarding this historical period, this dispensation of the law, the old covenant relationship between God and the children of Israel. And here in Exodus chapter 20, we have the record of God setting forth the Ten Commandments, the commandments which God gave to the children of Israel to be the basis, the moral basis for the Old Testament law. Now, I should say here before I go any further that the words testament and covenant refer to the same thing. The word testament simply came from the Latin word, which was used to translate the word for covenant. So we can say testament or we can call it covenant, but the meaning is the same. Therefore, when we say the Old Testament, we're speaking of the Old Covenant. When we speak of the New Testament, we're speaking of the New Covenant. So here in Exodus chapter 20, we see God setting forth the Ten Commandments, the basis for that Old Testament or that Old Covenant relationship between God and his people, Israel. In Exodus chapter 20, we read in verse 1, "And God spoke all these words, 'I am the Lord your God, who brought you out of Egypt, out of the land of slavery.'" The children of Israel had been in slavery in the land of Egypt, and God brought them out, and he then gave them these commandments. Verse 3, "You shall have no other gods before me. You shall not make for yourself an idol in the form of anything in heaven above, or in the earth beneath, or in the waters below. You shall not bow down to them or worship them," and so forth. Then, verse 7, you shall not misuse the name of the Lord your God. Verse 8, remember the Sabbath day by keeping it holy. Verse 12, honor your father and your mother. Verse 13, you shall not commit murder. Verse 14, you shall not commit adultery. Verse 15, you shall not steal. Verse 16, you shall not give false testimony against your neighbor. And then verse 17, you shall not covet your neighbor's house, and so forth. These are the setting forth of the Ten Commandments, the moral basis of God's covenant relationship with the nation of Israel. After he gave them these Ten Commandments, he then set forth for them further precepts, stipulations, which governed all of the moral and the life, the civic life of the nation of Israel. In verse 12 of chapter 21, let's just look at what some of these other laws were, because the Old Testament law had some 600 laws within it to govern the life of the nation of Israel, to enable God to be able to care for His people so that they could love Him, serve Him according to what God knew was the way which was best for them to live, so that they could enjoy that which God desired for them. In verse 12, we see some of the laws regarding personal injury. This was simply a legal code which God set forth for these children of Israel. Verse 12, anyone who strikes a man and kills him shall surely be put to death. However, if he does not do it intentionally, but God lets it happen, he is free to flee to a place I will designate. That is, he is to flee to a place which God would designate. But if a man schemes and kills another man deliberately, that is, by his premeditation, then you are to take him away from the altar and you are to put him to death. That is, capital punishment was set forth as the penalty for premeditated murder. Verse 15. Anyone who attacks his father or his mother must be put to death. Anyone who kidnaps another and either sells him or still has him when he is caught must be put to death, and so forth. Now, look down in verse 23. But if there is a serious injury, you are to take life for life, eye for eye, tooth for tooth, hand for hand, foot for foot, burn for burn, wound for wound, bruise for bruise. This was the code. It was that which was set forth to govern the life of the nation of Israel. This was the criminal code. What was to occur when personal injuries occurred according to criminal behavior. And this was what regulated the life of the children of Israel within that regards. Look over to chapter 22. Here we see regarding the protection of personal property. Chapter 22, verse 1. If a man steals an ox or a sheep and slaughters it or sells it, he must pay back 5 head of cattle for the ox and 4 for the sheep. If a man is caught breaking in and is struck so that he dies, the defender is not guilty of bloodshed, and so forth. These are different laws set forth to protect the personal property of the people of the children of Israel. Then, we have all kinds of other laws which are set forth. Laws regarding social responsibility. Laws regarding justice and mercy. Or laws regarding the Sabbath day, the day of rest, to honor God. Then, there were also laws concerning festivals, which were to be held in honor of God, to celebrate the feast of the unleavened bread, to celebrate the harvest, the bringing in of the harvest, and so forth. All kinds of different feasts and celebrations which God set forth for these children of Israel to obey and to keep in order to honor Him and to keep His laws in remembrance. Now, in chapter 24 then, after Moses set forth these Ten Commandments as well as all the laws which he set forth to govern the life of the nation of Israel. He then comes before the children of Israel to establish this covenant relationship between God and his people, Israel. Moses being God's spokesman. Verse 3 of chapter 24. When Moses went and told the people all the Lord's words and laws, they responded with one voice. Everything the Lord said, we will do. Moses then wrote down everything the Lord had said. And then he got up early the next morning and built an altar at the foot of the mountain and set up 12 stone pillars representing the 12 tribes of Israel. The 12 tribes of Israel were the descendants of the patriarch Jacob, whose name was later changed to Israel. Israel had 12 sons, and from these sons we derived the 12 tribes or families of Israel. So, these 12 pillars were set up representing the 12 tribes of Israel, that nation of Israel. Verse 5. Then he sent young Israelite men, and they offered burnt offerings and sacrificed young bulls as fellowship offerings to the Lord. Moses took half of the blood and put it in bowls, and then the other half he sprinkled on the altar. Then he took the book of the covenant, that covenant which he had written down, that Old Testament law, those Ten Commandments, and those rules and regulations regarding the governing of the nation of Israel. He took that book of the covenant and read it to the people. And then all the people responded, "We will do everything the Lord has said. We will obey." Then, verse 8, Moses then took the blood, sprinkled it on the people, and said, "This is the blood of the covenant that the Lord has made with you in accordance with all these words." This then was the covenant which God set up with his people within the Old Testament. It was the Mosaic law, the old covenant, establishing the relationship between God and his people. This covenant was expanded upon later, and it was given then to the children of Israel so that they could obey it, and so that God could bless them, and so that they, as God's people, could be a witness to the nations of the world of God's goodness, his love, his justice, and his greatness within the nation of Israel.